From Indianapolis and 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Taylor Bennett, and this is your WFYI Weekly News Roundup. The Indiana April revenue forecast gives Indiana budget writers an agreed-upon total revenue number as they finalize the state's two-year spending plan. This year, that conversation is tangled up with the road funding debate. The forecast delivered to the State Budget Committee projects about $200 million more dollars than the forecast from December. Senate budget author Luke Kinley says that number doesn't change things for him.
There's certainly not enough revenue gain to justify moving the sales tax on gas over to road funding and creating a big hole in the budget.
The House proposed moving that gasoline sales tax to pay for roads. The Senate eliminated that shift in its plan. Community meetings continue this month over an upcoming special election in Carmel. The city wants to extend a tax hike that helps fund Carmel Clay Schools. Superintendent Dr. Nicholas Wall.
It really gives everybody a chance just to see what we're talking about, because when you say referendum, people, I think, initially think, oh, my goodness, my taxes are going to go up. And we're sending the message your school tax rate will remain where it is, 83 cents with the replacement. So it allays concerns, too, because we're giving people facts about the referendum.
If it doesn't pass, he says Carmel Clay Schools will have to lay off at least 260 employees district-wide. It would also mean some cuts to programs.
It's 14% of our operational budget. And again, that equates to 260 of our best and brightest working with our children every day, which would then spiral into cutting programs at the high school that are not necessary for graduation. It would cut programs at the middle school with interdisciplinary teaming and class size increases at elementary, middle, and high school because we lose so many of our valuable staff as a result of that. So it's very important that people are aware of what the current referendum does for us. And it's very important for our parents and our community to know what it does going forward with the programs that are so vital to Carmel Clay Schools. I think an informed voter is the most sound way to do what we do, and we're trying to get that information out.
A special election has been scheduled for Tuesday, May 2nd. Meetings will continue at various schools this month. School district officials in Muncie hope a locally crafted debt reduction plan will convince state lawmakers to remove them from a bill that would let the state take over control of the district's financial crisis.
Muncie Community School Superintendent Stephen Ball told a large crowd at Tuesday's school board meeting that he isn't just worried about being taken over by the state.
Cash flow is at a crisis point. We're really at the point where we're not sure month to month if we're going to have enough money to make sure we make payroll, particularly by the end of the summer.
But Ball still believes the district does not need help from the state, even though Muncie was added to a bill approved by the House last week that would give state control to it and Gary Community School Corporation. A state report says Muncie has $18.6 million worth of short-term debt. The district's debt reduction plan calls for closing four elementary schools and a career center and selling and reconstructing one middle school in the next 2 years. That and other cuts would save about $13 million. But the plan leaves a $4.3 million deficit and does not address outstanding debt or bonds. The takeover bill is headed to a conference committee, and local lawmakers say they still want Muncie removed before it heads to Governor Eric Holcomb. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Tony Sandlaven in Muncie.
The Clarion is coming back to the Indy 500. It will mark the first time in 38 years. They announced that they will enter a single car for the big race. It will be run by the Andretti Autosport team and driven by driver Fernando Alonso. IMS President Doug Bowles.
Having the McLaren name come back with the Andretti name and with Alonso is pretty spectacular for those of us here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I've had a chance to talk to a couple of our drivers in the Verizon IndyCar Series already today who are also very excited about the idea that they get to compete against Fernando Alonso at the track that they all love more than any other track in the world. So from a driver standpoint, from a fan standpoint, and certainly from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway standpoint, this is a great, great story that we'll all be watching.
The Indy 500 will take place on May 28th. The mother of late-night talk show host David Letterman died this week. Dorothy Mingreen was 95. She died on the eve of Letterman's 70th birthday. She was born in Linton, Indiana, on July 18th of 1921. She was a frequent guest on Letterman's Late Show and was often referred to on camera as Dave's Mom or Dave's Mom Dorothy. This Saturday is the deadline for students to fill out their application for college financial aid, including the federal Pell Grant. As WFYI's Eric Weddle reports, those who don't do it will lose out.
To receive financial aid for college, students must complete the FAFSA. That's the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. State officials say all students planning to attend college, from high school seniors to returning adults, should fill out the form. Students in Indiana's 21st Century Scholars Program will lose their scholarship if they don't submit it on time. Indiana has more than $300 million in aid available to Indiana students this year. Colleges and universities also use the FAFSA to calculate their own aid and scholarship packages. For more information and to fill out the form, go online to www.fafsa.gov. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Eric Weddle.
You're listening to WFYI's Weekly News Roundup. I'm Taylor Bennett. An official ribbon-cutting ceremony will take place this month at Wilcox Environmental Engineering and Speedway. The company moved its headquarters to Main Street a couple of months ago after experiencing rapid growth. And President Chris Bonnewell says the company is very happy to be part of the community.
It's been the biggest change I've seen for us with this is we're no longer in an industrial park where we're just sort of isolated and do work and people go do whatever they do. We actually have a lot of staff that get up and go participate and go, you know, visit the restaurants as a group. And it's really changed our culture a lot to be part of a community in a business, not just a business.
He says the company already had a working relationship with Speedway.
We actually have done a lot of environmental work for the town of Speedway over the past 6-7 years, helping them in their redevelopment efforts. So we do environmental due diligence and some of the pre-work as they start to acquire properties and redevelop them.
The groundbreaking is set for April 18th at 10 a.m. Indianapolis has a new theater company. Storefront Theater is a not-for-profit in the style of Chicago Storefront Theaters, where founder Ronan Morris spent 14 years running his own company. He says storefront style means just that.
Theater literally in a storefront, or literally in a very small space, only about 40 to 50 seats total. It's purposely intimate and ensemble-based work, you know, usually with smaller casts, but you never know. And with a complete focus on new work, not necessarily world premieres, but, you know, something that's been produced once somewhere else that I'm going to bring to Indianapolis and whatnot. And on top of that, our focus in terms of what we're going to be programming are going to be plays by women, minorities, and foreign playwrights. So those two things combined, the Chicago style of storefront theater, small intimate theater, plus plays by underrepresented playwrights.
On Saturday night, the Indianapolis-based American Pianist Association selected 23-year-old Drew Peterson from New Jersey as its 2017 APA Crystal DeHaan Classical Fellowship Award winner. The 13-month juried competition is one of a kind in the music world. Five finalists make several trips to Indianapolis to perform at various venues and work with local high school music students. They returned last week for daily recitals and the gala finals. WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer spoke with Peterson when he was in town for the first part of the competition. Peterson was deemed a musical prodigy at the age of 5, so he knows the importance of public appearances for musicians.
Yes. This is a big thing. I've been realizing in the past couple years for me as my career continues to grow, being able to go from being kind of a hermit of sorts and being so self-reflective, so self-analytical, and just being able to have the patience and the kind of, you know, analytical capability to work on our own and continue to refine what we're doing. And then to be able to kind of turn that switch off and switch on this public persona of really doing the exact opposite is sometimes really difficult and very demanding. But it keeps things really interesting. It's really fun to have both aspects of ourselves present in our work every day. I think it's much more exciting than just doing one or the other.
What tools have you found help you to do that, to get out of hermit mode and go into PR mode?
I keep refining my tools every day, I think. But I found recently that being around stimulating people and having great conversations with people around me really helps me to kind of get more outgoing in a way, engage more with people generally, because that's really what it's about. It's about communicating with people. And it's not, I find like the PR thing, I used to think before I was doing this more consistently, you had to, I don't know, kind of get out of your own skin and be a larger than life persona. You really don't have to be. You just have to be yourself and communicate who you are pretty much just as a person to people. And there's no better way to do that than just talking to people every day. So just relating to people gets me, you know, in that mood, if you will.
Well, you've been the subject of a couple of articles and books about being a prodigy, a musical prodigy. Is that a label that's helped or hurt you? How has it affected you?
You know, it's hard. In a way, it's hard to tell. It's harder for me to tell what it was like to be a prodigy as I was one as a younger kid, because to me, it was kind of just my normal existence was doing music and loving it. And I didn't really see so much of a disconnect between, you know, living real life and kind of doing my music stuff. Now, looking back on it as a 23-year-old, looking back 10, 15 years ago, it was a big job for me to do, to kind of balance my life as a musician, doing all of the concerts and being exposed to the world in such a way and living a normal childhood. But I was very lucky. My parents are very grounded people who, though they encouraged me very strongly to do what I love and made sure that I was doing it to the best of my ability, they never pushed me beyond what I wanted to do. So in that sense, and they always supported me. They're very, very emotionally supportive as well as in all other ways. So in that sense, I had a very holistic kind of, you know, wholesome childhood that was not so affected, I think, by the kind of, you know, musical prodigy labels and everything that goes along with that.
And is part of that being normal that you've been able to develop other interests or hobbies or things that you enjoy outside of playing the piano?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I've done a lot of academic things in addition to music. I was not one of these kids who was locked in a practice room for hours a day as a kid and kind of left school, blah, blah. I did do things a little unconventionally. I did go to Harvard as a social sciences major, not related to music, for my undergrad. But I did continue practicing my music, and I'm now at Juilliard doing my master's there. So I kind of got back into it much more seriously in the past couple of years. I do also have lots of other interests. As a middle school and high schooler, I was a competitive swimmer. A lot of stuff in that kind of, you know, solo, again, like music, athletic arena, and no contact sports because very dangerous for our hands. But the swimming was really, really fun because it gave me a very, very motivating kind of thing to do that was totally different from music. But I couldn't keep it up, obviously, is the kind of a thing. Swimming and piano get so intense as you get higher up in your skill level and when you want to start competing. So I had to kind of make a choice. And I do still swim, love to swim recreationally, but it's not a competition for me. Piano is enough of a competition.
Peterson's award includes a recording contract, 2 years of career advancement and support, a year as the artist in residence at the University of Indianapolis, and also a cash prize of $50,000.
What do you wonder about Indianapolis?
Why did Pogue's Run get buried underground?
Why are there so many potholes?
Who's in charge of synchronizing all the stoplights in town?
With Curious Indy, you can ask questions and help WFYI News decide what we should be reporting on next, and sometimes even be part of finding the answer. So, Curious Indy? Go to WFYI.org/Curious Indy to find out more.
This is the weekly news roundup on 90.1 WFYI. I'm Taylor Bennett. The Indianapolis Zoo is using a grant program to build on its conservation efforts this year. The zoo will be able to use a grant to fund projects all over the world, including one in Indiana. Michelle Shulton is the Director of Education and Conservation.
We're working with the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, and it's called the Indiana Natural Heritage Data Center, and they basically are collecting biological information about Indiana's most significant resources. And this project is specifically looking at stoneflies, which is a good indicator of water quality. So they've done a lot with mayflies and dragonflies, and so they felt like stoneflies weren't studied enough, and so they're basically the center of information about Indiana's biodiversity.
Other funding recipients include longstanding conservation zoo partners, as well as several organizations and projects new to the zoo's program. Indiana Comic-Con returns to Indianapolis this weekend for its fourth year in a row at the Indiana Convention Center. Contributor Eric Hartwig channeled his inner geek to learn more.
These are convention centers. PopCon, GenCon, ComicCon, HoosierCon, all of these cons. What is the deal? Well, deep down, it's all about what art can do for the soul.
My spider senses are starting to tingle.
Role-playing games, comic books, movies, and video games all require the help of a creative team of people. But you might be surprised to find out that not all con artists are geeks. Because of these conventions, I've met everyone from Aquaman or Drago for the Thrones fans to our dear Princess Leia. I've walked around with Colossus, got my picture taken with Arya Stark. I've even seen Captain Adama from a reasonably close distance. But how can you tell how much nerd chi a person has? I decided to come up with a geek evaluation test. I'm at Jess West Costumes, and Jess is getting geared up for the next convention, Indiana Comic Con.
A lot of the people see you at these conventions. They obviously assume that you know everything about these people.
Jess is not trying to win trivia night.
Can I get a Quicksilver costume? Have you done any of those?
You're my first.
First Quicksilver, but you know who I'm talking about, right?
I am terrible at fibbing to people. Over the phone, I may be like, oh yeah, sure, and I'm Googling simultaneously as they're like asking me these questions. It's for Medusa.
Various costumes and clothing are on racks and in piles that surround the room. Tubs of glitter, buttons, googly eyes, and even LED lights.
900 feet of hair extensions.
Except for the sewing area, it's pretty tidy.
I make things, that's what
that's
I do.
That's all you do, you're a maker.
I think all artists, they'll find some bits of them that they'll take and put it into their own art.
Jess has definitely put herself into her art.
And I just wanted to give it a test run, so I just rolled down South Meridian when the bars were open at 11 o'clock at night in a Spawn costume. Half the people were like, what is that?
Did anybody know who it was right
away? Oh, absolutely. I had some dudes come up and we were just like bowing down like, oh my gosh. When you can sort of create things that get them really pumped about stuff that sort of is their own escape to their own reality, it's really fun.
So like I've come up with this Geekometer quiz.
I've been nervous about this one the whole time.
Who is Kal-El?
No clue.
What is the name of the gremlin who has the mohawk?
Spike.
It is Spike.
The costume designer, barely a level one geek. Let's hop on over to Geek Mecca, Greenwood's Comic Book University. Sometimes I stop by to discuss Infinity Stones, but today I'm catching up with a true blue comic artist, Jackie Crofts.
I'm an illustrator on a book called Nutmeg. It's like Betty and Veronica meets Breaking Bad. I mean, I've been drawing since I was little. I would just sit underneath the table at my grandparents' house by myself and draw while everybody else played cards.
In the gaming room, we ran into the guys from The Kind of Epic Show, David West and Gabe Canavan.
This has always been part of who I am. It's just become a passion. It's become part of my life. And I surround myself of similar people.
Literally judging a book by its cover, because it's not frowned upon in this medium.
The conversation quickly reaches max nerd level.
Geekometer time. Sonic the
Hedgehog.
What is Daredevil's day job?
Lawyer.
All right, David. Who is Oliver Queen?
The Green Arrow.
The Death Star commander is named?
Tarkin.
Okay, we're obviously dealing with pros here.
Okay, so level four, here we go. One word of Klingon.
Beesh.
Okay, what is one of the names humans call Cylons in Battlestar Galactica?
Ooh, I actually want to let her answer this.
Okay.
Toasters.
Yes. Toasters!
And now we're off to the cosplay scene. I decided to bring my kids with me to HoosierCon. My youngest little lady, Emmy, proudly dressed as Batman. We caught up with player-performer Lola Hart. Today she is Belle from Beauty and the Beast and hosting a costume contest.
We're getting ready to start. Yeah, there we go. That's better.
The room is filled with strange characters, including an entire Pokemon family. The Gradles. This family is decked out.
Prepare for trouble.
Every member of the family is a Pokemon character.
Team Rocket, bless up at the speed of light.
Mama Gradle put a lot of time into this.
I would say this theme right here took me a month to do.
The entire family is cosplay.
According to Lola, it isn't uncommon to see this type of confidence at a con.
It's a really good way for people to not only get out and meet new people, but to get outside of their shell as well.
Level one Geekometer, what is Spider-Man's secret identity?
It depends on the comic book, but primarily Peter Parker.
And what material is Captain America's shield made of?
Vibranium.
It's clear that you're level four.
Even Melissa Davis, our very own NPR voice here, is fairly geeky. Like The Flash, I'm going into the past. Hacking time to the day Melissa was editing this Art of the Matter segment. I've placed geeky artifacts in the studio. I've also placed a GoPro in the corner, so I can keep an eye on what she's up to. Okay, guys. Thor's hammer, a well-known USS Starship, and a Green Lantern Pez dispenser are in clear view. Melissa's coming into the studio. Oh, she's interested in the items. Level one. She has picked up the Starship and is playing with it. Level two. I better get in there. Melissa, I noticed that you noticed a lot of these geek items in here.
I did.
It's actually part of the geekometer test.
Oh my goodness.
So you've picked up what?
Well, okay, now this is going to show you that I may not... Is this the Starship Enterprise?
That is the Starship Enterprise.
Yes.
Who is the captain of the Starship Voyager?
Oh, boy. Captain Kirk?
Well, I guess that's it for this convincing story. It's pretty obvious to me that geeking out is just another artistic expression open to anyone. Be sure to find our team at Comic-Con, where I will bring the geekometer for some impromptu testing. Your results and geek level will be posted to my Facebook page, or WFYI's if they let me. Now get out there and let your freak flag fly.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
You've been listening to the WFYI Weekly News Roundup. The latest news is available anytime online at our website, wfyi.org. Stay tuned for Indiana Lawmakers. I'm Taylor Bennett.